Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Before we do anything, I think it'd be just appropriate to pray. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and kindness. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, we can't do this on our own. I can't do this on my own. And Father, just do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, move how only you can move. We submit ourselves and give ourselves to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, before I do go on, I just need to quickly touch on a couple of housekeeping things. So this is for people who you call Nations Church Belmont home. If you don't call Nations Church Belmont home, maybe you're visiting today for the second time, or you got another church, you're welcome to kind of tune out right now, you know. But for those of you who do call Nations Church home, obviously on Friday, you would have got an email from our senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee, just outlining to our whole church across all our campuses, just where we are at as a church, obviously, with this coronavirus news and an update to our church in terms of what we're doing. We want to make sure that in every single season, no matter if there's news on the outside or not, we are good stewards of what God has given us. We're good stewards of people. We're good stewards of our health. And so they told us across all our campuses, obviously, we're still able to meet on Sundays because we are below that 500 threshold. We're not sure whether that will change, but we are going above and beyond in our measures to make sure everything is above board. We've got hand sanitizers in a million different places. Please don't steal them after the service. We've got toilet paper to last for the next 20 years. And you know, we've cleaned and sanitized all our children's rooms and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, I'm no medical expert, so please don't ask me for any medical advice. Please just make sure we're good stewards and we're following the laws of the land and what's being told to us as well. At the end of the day, you know, we're just the local body of Christ. And I don't say that as we're Chester. I mean that our voice has incredible power. And what we get to do here on a Sunday, we should never take for granted. And so as long as the government and the people are obviously allowing us this space, we're going to continue to come. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to praise. We're going to continue to worship. Because, come on, there are people in China who would give up anything to be in this position. There are underground churches all over the world that would give up anything to be in this position. So I don't know about you, but as long as we're able to do this, I'm going to be at church on Sundays. I'm going to be praising. I'm going to be worshiping. So I encourage you. I encourage your connects, the people you're talking to. Let's make sure we're in the house of God. And I just want to touch on four simple things that we want to steward in this season in the life of our church. Number one, I shared with our team in our pre-service prayer. You know, the church is called to be a voice of hope. We live by faith, not by fear. And you need to know that obviously 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when he's speaking and he says, God didn't give you a spirit of what? Fear. But he gave you one of power, of love, of joy, of peace, of sound mind, of self-control. And you know, there's always going to be reports, there's always going to be stuff that happens outside these four walls. I get it. I understand it. But as the early church, they gathered together to stir up one another, to stir up one another in faith. And so I want to encourage you. Let's be a church that encourages one another in faith, not in fear. Number one. Number two, obviously in Romans 13, you know, let's respect and honor the rulings and the authorities of the land. And that means using wisdom, right? Let's use wisdom. Let's be good stewards. Like, let's be good stewards in what we buy, right? Let's be good stewards in what we do and don't do. If you see someone, if you see a neighbor, if you see someone in your world that needs something, let's just be Christians. Like, let's just shine some light. Let's actually be the salt of the earth. Let's actually go out of our way to bless others, to encourage others, to actually be the church that Christ died for. Amen. Let's use wisdom and let's be good stewards. And, you know, thirdly, obviously the church and the early church, their model was, you know, meeting big but gathering small, meeting big but gathering small. There was persecution. There were things that happened all the time for the early church after Jesus left the earth. But they knew that the power was in their connection. The power was in the relationships that they built, the people that they did life with. And as a church, we echo those thoughts, that sentiment, and that culture still today. We believe in connect groups. We believe in being connected. And we believe in connect groups being a place of discipleship, but also being a hotspot for community. And we believe that in connect groups, your life is transformed. Your life is activated. Your life is on track. And so we want to make sure that even in this season, right now, that we are all connected. We also need to make sure that as a church, we're over-communicating, because in any week, in any month, things might change for whatever reason. And so on your seats, you'll find right now a piece of paper, a little A1. Is that the size? I don't even know what size that is. A little cut out piece of paper. You can pick that up off your seat. You're probably sitting on it right now. A5, right. Now, if you've got a pen, you can fill that out. If you don't have a pen, there's a link on the screen. If you have a smartphone, this will help us out heaps. If JJ, if you could put that up on the screen for me, that link. If you have a smartphone, when this link comes up, you can copy this link, click on this link, update your details. Gareth, why are you doing this? I couldn't care less, to be honest, about getting personal info and all that kind of stuff. But as a church, we need to communicate a lot more in this season. So you'll be getting emails, you'll be getting texts. The last thing we want is people rocking up or not rocking up because of false assumptions. And so I'd love you, JJ, is that all right if we got it? Cool, I'll wait a minute. But if you can, if you've got a pen, fill that form out. When the link gets up and you've got a smartphone, go to that link after the service if you need to fill that out at the back. If you want to join a Connect group, you can tick that as well. If you are in a Connect group, fill that out as well. That's fine. But we want to make sure that we have everyone's current details. Reason being is that there's been times where we've sent texts, made calls, sent emails, and we've had old email addresses, old phone numbers, whatever that is. We want to make sure that what we're doing right now is current and is also up to date. Does this make sense? This all right? So if maybe you've moved in the last 6 months, 12 months, 3, 4 years, whatever, please update that right now or after the service. There'll be buckets, which you'll obviously place your offering in, but you'll also place those slips in. You can fill those out after the service as well. That's number three. Number four, we can pray. We can stand in prayer because we're a church that believes in prayer. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous woman avails so, so much. That God actually said, if my people would turn from their ways, if they would turn from their ways, oh, and we're done. If they turn from their ways, that God would actually heal their land. If they turn from their ways, come to me, pray that he would heal their land, hear their cries, and pour out prosperity again all over their land. And so, I don't know about you, but the church needs to be a voice in this season and a voice of prayer. Amen? So, they're the four things. Are we good? Don't worry about it. Hey, head shake. JJ, doing a great job anyway. Well done. Give a round of applause for JJ. So if you need to fill that up after the service or that link at the end of the service, we'll make sure it's up on the screen so you can get that link after the service or at the info desk as well. It'll be there for you. Let's get in the Word of God this morning. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. We're in a season as a church where obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, there's some crazy things happening outside the house. But you would know that in the last few weeks, the last month, we've been speaking about this thought of awakening. And we've been speaking about this thought of awakening also in the concept of prayer. And we've touched on the fact that in the next season to come, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into prayer. We're going to be talking about a stirring of prayer. And so I feel like we were kind of really prophetically speaking a message months or weeks ago that really was for a season to come right now. And so this message that we have and that I have this morning is actually a message birthed out of a place that God did something in January, but we're only seeing a realization of it now. So I want to share with you in the time I have with you this morning on an awakening to prayer. An awakening to prayer. I really believe in times and seasons like we're in right now that prayer can't be this break open in case of emergency kind of thing, you know. It can't be like, oh man, there's this disaster. There's this human error. There's something happening in our health. There's something happening in our family. There's something happening in our jobs. Oh, I better now go to prayer. You know, it can't be this like take it off the top shelf when something's going bad, but when something's going good, kind of put it back on. I think at times that the danger of prayer is that it can be a demand of our intentions as opposed to a demand on the intimacy of God. If we're not careful, prayer can be a demand on our intentions instead of a demand on the intimacy with God. We've been looking at Romans chapter 13. And we've been looking at it in the context of this year and really speaking about being awakened as a church. And I love how Paul finishes off in the Passion Translation. And in verse 14, he says this, instead of doing all these things that's not of God, instead of doing all these things that you're not called to do, instead, fully immerse yourself into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken to its selfish desires. Don't waste a moment. Don't waste a moment. Don't fall back into the mundane and the grind of life. Don't waste a moment on the day-to-day things that can take your attention away from Jesus. But instead, fully throw yourself into everything that God has for you. To be fully immersed is literally to be fully submerged in something. It's to be fully devoted to something. It's to give your life all out to something that you believe in, to something that you value. And I think a full immersion with Jesus Christ is actually prayer. Because throwing yourself fully into Jesus Christ is actually throwing yourself into a life of intimacy. It's throwing yourself into a life of communication. It's throwing yourself into hearing God's voice, into listening to what God has to say. Because if you want to be in everything that God has for you, guess what? You better know what He's saying to you. You better know where He's directing you for your next steps. You better hear His voice. You better be spending time with Him. To be fully into something means there is communication both ways. It's not a one-way dialogue. Not a one-way dialogue at all. 4th of February, I went to the shops, and on that day, my wife at the end of the day made a call that I'm not allowed to go to the shops ever again to pick up stuff that she tells me to pick up. So I just want to backtrack on that story a little bit. I was sent to get 5 things. I was sent to get eggs, pasta, parsley, I can't remember anymore, milk, and something else, whatever it was. So I got sent, I got given a text. Not only did I get a text, I got sent pictures of every single item, right? So I've got pictures, I've got a text. Pasta, sausages, parsley, eggs, cheese. I got the wrong pasta, right sausages, wrong parsley, wrong size eggs, and I got cheese. I returned home with 2 out of 5 items. Better than 1 out of 5. Better than 1 out of 5. 2 out of 5 items. You've heard of baby brain, but I want to submit to you that there's a thing called male brain when you walk to shopping centers. It's you just, everything's just kind of, where am I? What am I doing here? What is this chocolate? Am I meant to cook with this? Your head's going all over the place. So I came home, I told my wife, and she's like, never again. Never again are you leaving. It wasn't a problem with my wife's communication. She texted me. She sent me pictures. She told me what to get. She even called me up. I did the shopping, and I said, yeah, I've got everything. Can you believe that? The audacity. The audacity. It was a problem with my communication. See, Jess was speaking. She had given instruction. She'd given insight. It's like she had put everything in place for me to do something, but it was kind of like I was treating it like a monologue. It wasn't a dialogue. It was information. It was communication one way, but not the other way. But you need to know that prayer is a two-part dialogue. Communication with God, you actually have a role to play. It's a two-part dialogue. It's asking God, God, what do you think? God, what are you saying? God, what do you want to speak to me about right now? God, I'm coming to you with a thankful heart, and here I am. Would you speak? Would you hear my cry? God, I'm standing before you right now, everything that I have, but then it's also standing back and saying, God, now I'm going to listen. Now I'm actually going to hear what you have to say to me. The only way for you to fully immerse yourself in Jesus is to actually be fully intimate with Jesus. And the only way to be fully intimate with Jesus is for us to actually communicate with Jesus. Come on. Prayer is not just talking, it's also listening. Come on. Prayer is not just talking, it's also listening. The biggest battle in our communication, in our families, in our relationships, in work, is the battle for communication. It's the battle for communication. You know, in World War II, they would write these letters to their loved ones. Gone both ways. And they would receive this letter, and it would tell them how much they're loved, how much they're valued, how much they're cherished. I miss you. I can't wait till you return home. Love you so much. the kids miss you, and you need to know we're just so thankful for what you're doing. And we really reaffirm values in them. Speak to them about their purpose. Tell them how much they're loved, how much they're valued. It would call out potential in their lives. And it was great. It was encouraging. It was fantastic. And it was great for a day, a couple of days, a few weeks, maybe even 6 months. I don't know. But after a while, that letter kind of sat on a shelf. And the letter was good. The letter had power. The letter was essential. It was a necessity for them to hear how much they were valued, how much they were loved. I mean, this had so much truth in it for them. Sound familiar? Word of God speaks to you about your purpose, speaks to you about the promises of God for your life, speaks to you about your potential, tells you how much you're loved, how much you're cared for, how much you're valued, everything that you need found in the Word of God. I mean, this thing is powerful. But it's not just a one-tool means to your Christian living. You want to know how powerful it is? Hebrews 4, chapter 12. For the Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There can be no doubt of how powerful God's Word is. So we look at Jesus. Jesus in chapter 1, fully man, fully God. And John writes of Jesus this, that, and the Word, to Jesus Christ, the Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the living, breathing Word of God. Knew it all from start to end. Knew the promises. Knew what it said, could recite things in a moment's notice. He was the living, breathing Word of God. He knew the Word. Absolutely, the Word's important. Psalm chapter 1 tells us that those who meditate on the Word, those who actually take the Word in, those who sit on the Word of God, they're the ones that will flourish. They're the ones who will be strong if their delight is in the law of the Lord, which He meditates day and night. The Word of God, so powerful for your life. So much truth for your life. Everything you need found in this incredible book, this incredible Bible, this living Word of God. Except it's a one part to a two part thing. In the Greek, there's this translation for when we read the Bible and for we read the Word of God, and it's often when people mention the Word. And the true translation in the Greek, without spending a whole heap of time on it right now, is Logos and Rhema. Simply stated, you know, Logos is the written Word of God, and Rhema is God's Spirit or God's voice really speaking to us. It is us hearing the voice of God. It is that time in your life where things maybe you feel hard or things maybe feel hopeless, and you're sitting there and you feel God say, hey, I love you so much. Sometimes it's that gentle voice. Sometimes it's that voice encouraging you. Sometimes it's the voice of God speaking to you through the very scripture that you're reading. In fact, Jesus modeled what it is like because He was the Word, but He also had to know that He had to receive the word of affirmation from His Father. In fact, after Jesus was baptized, God was the one who spoke. Think about it. Jesus Christ, what more does Jesus need? I mean, you are the Word. You have everything you need, Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles. I mean, you've got it all. But still, God, after that moment, chose us to reaffirm and say, this is My Son. This is My Son in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus says, hey, listen, you need to know that man can't live by bread alone. But actually, he needs to live by every word that the Father speaks. He's speaking about this Rhema word. Gareth, why is that important? It's important because, friend, I want to tell you that God is always speaking. God is always speaking. He's always, even right now, to people sitting in this room, he might even be speaking to you right now. He is always speaking. But the question is, have we made space to hear His voice? Have we made space to communicate with Him. And I am excited more than ever in 2020 that whatever the future holds, I'm excited more than ever to know that if the church does just one thing this year, let it be that we awaken to prayer. Come on, let it be that we awaken to prayer. Awaken to prayer. There's this crazy miracle that Jesus does in Matthew 14, 18 to 22. You might know it as 5 loaves, 2 fish. And he gets bits and pieces, some fish, some loaves of bread. He's giving it out. They're like, man, this isn't enough. There's 5,000 people here, plus kids, plus women. And Jesus, I just don't know if this is enough. Jesus says, what you got? Do you know who I am? Like, this is Jesus you're talking to. Like, what you've got, it's enough. Go around, start feeding the people. So they each get fed, and the Bible tells us there's actually not just enough, there's more than enough. Like, there's leftovers afterwards. I mean, this is pretty crazy, right? This is pretty amazing. I mean, what a miracle. What a sign. What a wonder. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. Amazing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd love to read on and see what he does next. I mean, grab your popcorn, right? I mean, is he got another town to reach? Is he going to feed 10,000 people? I mean, is he going to get a boat and go somewhere else and do another sign, another miracle? I mean, he's just getting started. Let's read on. So immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Great. They're obviously going to go somewhere and do another miracle. But they go before him to the other side. I mean, that's cool. He sent the multitudes away. Strange, but maybe right now Jesus is setting the disciples up to see something so personal. Maybe he's setting them up right now to see just an incredible miracle. Let's read on. So he sent the multitudes away. All right, Jesus, now's your time. Do your thing with the disciples. Let's see another great miracle. Let's see something. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I mean, I thought he was going to go to the next town. I thought he was going to do something even better with his disciples. But he sends everyone away and he goes up the mountain by himself to pray. I believe that what Jesus is doing here is he's showing that the power of prayer is in the persistence of prayer. That the power of prayer is in the persistence of prayer. That prayer is just as effective before the miracle as it is after the miracle. That a petition of thankfulness is just as good before you get that breakthrough as it is after you get that breakthrough. Come on. That coming to God with communication at a level of intimacy is just as good when things are going bad and when things are going good. It's that level of consistency in prayer. The power of prayer is found in the persistence of prayer. That it's just as good when you're on your knees crying for that breakthrough as it is when things are going so well, but you're still saying, God, I still want to have a relationship with you. I still want to be intimate with you. I still want to keep communicating with you because I know that as good as things are right now, you've surely got more for me. It's this persistency of prayer. Martin Luther King one day was asked, what are you doing tomorrow? And he said, I'm busy, working, in fact, working until late. He said, in fact, I'm so busy that I'm going to have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. It was said of Charles Spurgeon that he would move from laughter to prayer in a moment's notice. That it wasn't compartmentalized for him, it was this natural thing. Where it was part of his life that he would just be doing life, but then also just in a sense, hey, let's just thank God for what we're doing right now. Hey, let's just, like, this is great, and I'm not trying to be weird and super spiritual, and I'm trying to be like, hey, God, should I pay for this? Or, no, I'm just, God, thank you for this right now. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Cool, and then just move on. And I think the secret to awakening to prayer for each and every believer is that it should be something that is persistent in our lives. It should be found in our everyday thing. And I think the lie of the enemy at times to Christians and to believers is the lie that, oh, you know what, you haven't spent enough time. Who do you think you are? You haven't given God enough time today. Like, how can you think, I mean, you think that 2-minute prayer is enough for God? At times we can kind of feel guilty. But I firmly believe that the discipline and persistence of prayer isn't found in the quantity of time that you can spend with God, but it's found in the quality of your intimacy with God. Please hear me correctly. Don't go out of here saying, well, you know what? Gareth said that I don't really need to pray for that long anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that God's not sitting there saying, you know what? See that single dad, that single mom? And all they had was that moment while they were juggling their newborn and preparing the other kid for school. And they quickly gathered them together and said, hey, let's just quickly pray. God, we just want to thank you for what we have. Thank you for this roof over our head. And we just want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. He's not saying, wow, that was so special. But you know what was even better? That retiree that woke up at 7 and spent 7 to 5 praying to me. I think that was better because that was just a longer time. Friend, that's not how God is. God is just. He is merciful. He is no respecter of age or background or what you do and don't have in your hand. Heaven's not held hostage by what you have in your hand. Come on. But what he is looking for, and he looks at those two situations, and he says, you know what? I love you both equally. And my heart moves equally for what you've done. But I'm so thankful that you're both in that position of intimacy with me. And so I'm going to move and I'm going to hear exactly the cry that each of you had. One is not better than the other because I desire to have intimacy with you. I desire to be in relationship with you. God's looking for communication with his children that's simply authentic. Because authenticity, I found in my life, always produces intimacy. Authenticity always produces intimacy. And the goal of prayer is that it increases our intimacy with him, therefore decreasing our intimacy with ourselves. Paul's writing to the early church, and he starts penning this letter. So he pens this letter to the church of Colossians, and he's talking about spiritual disciplines. He's talking to new believers, older believers. But he's coming in now to correct some false theology. And he's coming in to do some teaching, to fill in some gaps that potentially weren't there before. So he comes in and he says, I've got to talk to you guys about something called Christian graces. In other words, I've got to talk to you about just some basic everyday things that you need to get right in your lives just to set some foundational work for you. So it says in chapter 4, verse 2, when you pray, nothing major, but just something small. When you pray, just devote yourselves to prayer. Like, stay camped in that moment of intimacy with God. And when you're doing it, would you just do these two things? Would you have an alert mind, and would you have a thankful heart? In other words, would you have a mind that knows what's happening around you isn't just in the natural, but in the spiritual realm? Would you have a mind that's switched on, that fixes your gaze not on the earthly things, but on the heavenly things? Would you have an alert mind that knows that, you know what, in this time of prayer, most often, most likely, I'm probably going to get distracted with something. Come on. Anyone notice that time of prayer, you get that phone call from that person you haven't heard from in 6 months? He says, have an alert mind. Know that where you are right now is so spiritually important for your discipleship, for your maturity, for your development as a Christian person, as a believer in Christ. Know how important it is, but also, equally, come to me with a thankful heart. Come to me with a thankful heart. Too many times our prayers are like, oh man, God, woe is me. And, oh, things are so bad. Oh, God, can I have this? Can I take this? God, I need this. I just pray that my prayers to God, God, I'm just so thankful that you saved me. And God, before I go on, I might not even be in the mental space now to believe this, but I'm so thankful that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by you. And God, even though right now I don't have the wisdom in this decision, it doesn't feel like I have the wisdom in this decision. I know that you are Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, and in all wisdom is found in you. So God, I thank you that you have that. God, I don't know what this next season holds for me, but I know that even financially, as I'm on this journey, Father, I'm so thankful that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, that all finance and all money is held by you, that you're not held hostage by my finances. God, I'm so thankful. This place of prayer, this place of intimacy, getting back to starting our prayers with an alert mind and a thankful heart, an alert mind and a thankful heart. Prayer should challenge you. Because Paul understood that awakening to prayer is diametrically opposed to awakening to selfish desires. Think of the most generous follower of Christ that you know, who does it on a consistent basis, not one-off, but a consistent life of generosity for every believer. And let me tell you, if you can think of that person, I can guarantee that what they're doing is founded in prayer. Because when you pray to God, you can't help but to have your intimacy and your desires shifted from off yourself to be put on God. Tim Keller said this, prayer gives us relief from the melancholy burden of self-absorption. Prayer gives us relief from the melancholy burden of self-absorption. I think that's so true. I think that's so true. Friend, let me tell you, if you're seeking humility and you're saying, God, I'm on this journey right now and I just pray that you'll just help me with these areas of maybe pride that I'm kind of dealing with, let me tell you, come to God in prayer. And you'll know if your prayer is authentic. You'll know if your prayer is in a level of intimacy with God because you'll be able to leave that prayer and your gaze will have shifted. Your perception would have shifted. And I'm so encouraged that this year in 2020, that Nations Church can be a church that awakens to authentic prayer, that awakens to levels of intimacy that we haven't had before. Maybe in this place of St. Garrett, this sounds great, this sounds awesome, but how? How do I pray? How do I put all this stuff in motion? Well, Jesus gives us a template as the band joins me. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13, you would have heard this before, no doubt. Jesus is saying, if you want the template to prayer, you want to know how I speak to my Heavenly Father, here it is. It's our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, if you don't know, like, yeah, sure, use this. But if you want to apply it to your own levels of communication, here's what you do. You come to me with a thankful heart. Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. It's not even about me, God. Thank you that worthy is your name. Thank you that you are Alpha and Omega. Thank you, God. You are holy. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Takes your gaze off yourself. And then ask God, God, would you give me help? Would you give me strength for today? Because his mercies are new every single morning. And the grace that you need for today is a different grace to what you needed to go through yesterday. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven for today. Pray with a spiritual awareness of the battles that are going on around you right now. Now, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. And the only way that you can be in this battle to win by having two things, the Word of God and the voice of God. God's Word living and breathing. The Holy Spirit ministering and speaking to you, either through that word, through that physical word, or maybe just his voice encouraging you, telling you to go on, giving you hope, giving you direction for the next season. As I close, I think the most dangerous thing we can often do as believers is make prayer a religious language. Before you like rule yourself out, like, guys, like, that's not me. You know, I'm in a relationship with Jesus. You know, I know the difference between religion and relationship. Like, that's cool, but hear me out for the next minute. Jesus didn't hate the term religion. He hated the religious institution. The fact that people came to the temple to do the things that he had asked them to do in their daily lives. So they made a big act of bringing their offering, of bringing their animals, of bringing their currency, of coming and parading their title. They only did it on a certain day, at a certain place. And Jesus spoke into that religious way of living. Stay with me. Let me challenge you this morning. When was the last time you prayed outside of church? Like, I know we come together for revival prayer nights. I know we come together corporately to gather on a Sunday. But prayer fueled in religion means a lifestyle that just says, you know what, I know I've got to pray, but I'm just going to do it when I get to church. I'm just going to do it when I get to a certain building, when I get to a certain place. Like, I know I got to do it in my life, and I know I got to rely on it, and I know it's intimacy with God, but I'm just going to hold off and just, it's like, it's good enough on a Sunday. It's good enough at a revival prayer meeting on a Monday night. It's good enough maybe for youth. It's good enough. Like, I'll do it in that environment, but I believe there's tremendous freedom, tremendous power, and a tremendous awakening for the local church in this year to say, God, I'm going to come to you in every season, in every chapter, in every place that I am, whether it's some mountaintop experience, whether it's a valley low experience, whether it's before the miracle, whether it's after the miracle. God, whether it's when things are good, whether it's when things are bad, whether it's I've got that 5 minutes on the car ride on the way to work, or whether I've got that whole day to spend with you on a Saturday or on the week, whether it's when things are going absolutely amazing for my family or when it's going terrible for my family, when my health is in just the most amazing place, when my health is in a terrible place. God, no matter the season, no matter where I am, God, I'm coming to you in this place of intimacy. I'm coming to you in this place of prayer so that I can hear your voice, so that I can communicate with you, because God, I don't want to do this life alone. I don't want to do this life without you. We need a church, a local church, that with what's happening in our world today stands up and doesn't just pray because there's an emergency. Come on. We pray because we know it is a daily discipline. We pray because we know it is a way of living in our lives. That is the power of prayer. That is the power of prayer. In the next few weeks, in the next few seasons, we're going to unpack the language and the power of prayer a little bit more. But I want to encourage you this morning, Nations Church Belmont. Maybe you haven't started, or maybe it's been something that maybe you've kind of struggled with in the past, or maybe you've done it in seasons, ups and downs. This year in 2020, let's be a church that awakens to prayer. Come on, let's be a church that awakens to prayer. Just bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place. Thank you, Jesus. My time's done. Maybe you're in this place and you're like, guys, I've heard you speak that message and I've heard you share that. And you speak about Jesus. You speak about someone who is fully God, fully man, who was the Word. And this hope and this life that he has to offer. And you speak about prayer and this level of intimacy and communication with God. And maybe you've never had that. Or maybe you've had it before, but it's been at that religious level. I don't know what your background or what your story is. But you need to know that God is a good, good Father. It's who he is. It's in his nature. And he loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son to die for you. That your sins and your past and your journey weren't so great that it disqualified you. In fact, quite the opposite. Through that one act that Jesus did, everyone in this room, everyone outside of these four walls qualified. How did we qualify? Easy. Jesus said, I came to save anyone who is lost. Anyone and everyone. In this place, if that's you and you're like, guys, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to say that he's my Lord and Savior. I want to commit my life to him. In no ways am I offering you religion this morning. I'm offering you a relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves you and cares for you more than you will ever know. I'm just going to count to three. feel like, Gaz, that's me, with every head bowed and eyes closed all across this place, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand up nice and high. One, we're going to simply say a prayer soon. All we're going to do afterwards is invite Jesus into our lives and say a prayer together as a family. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. Saved from what? Simply this, saved from a life separated from Jesus on our end. It's not on his end, because he loves you so much and he wants to have a relationship with you each and every day. Two and three, with every head bowed, eyes closed. Just looking for a hand. If you're saying, Garrett, that's me, I want to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, just slip your hand up nice and high right now. Just think, allowing three more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fantastic. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? Just keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. Obviously, I felt just in that message, in that salvation appeal, that there's a couple of people in this room that maybe you're a bit nervous to respond, and that's okay. After the service, just come have a chat with one of our leaders or Jess and myself. And we'd love to say that prayer with you as well. But with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to minister on that message for just a moment. Because for some of you, after hearing that message, the cry of your heart is, God, I just want to start this thing. I want to have an awakening to prayer. I just want to take the first step. And I don't know what that looks like to you. Maybe it's early morning. Maybe it's late night. Maybe it's on your way to work. Maybe it's on your lunch break. Maybe it's at your desk. Maybe whatever that looks like to you, and you're saying, God, I want to start. I want to start on this journey to awakening to prayer. For some of you, you've been saying, you know what, God, I feel like I need to change my prayer language. I feel like for too long I've been coming to you with this list of needs and this list of wants, and I've broke open prayer when I've needed something for my life. I broke open prayer when there's been an emergency, but it hasn't been a daily devotion, a daily revelation. For some of you, you're going to be challenged right now to actually start praying with your family. It's been something that's challenged me in the last 48 hours, to pray with your family. Some of you are going to start again around that breakfast time or around dinner time and just saying, hey, let's gather, let's pray. We're going to set the spiritual atmosphere for this home. We're going to be good stewards of what God's given us. If that's anyone in this room, just stay in your seats, but lift your hands to heaven. If that's you, you're saying, God, I want to start this journey. God, I want to have this be a daily devotion of my life. God, this year, I want to have an awakening to prayer. I want to have an awakening to intimacy. Come on. Come on, there's no one looking around. Just raise your hands nice and high right now. Come on. Come on, we need a church this year that's awakened to prayer. Come on. Come on, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place and say, well, you know, I'm not sure. No, make a decision right now to awaken to prayer, to awaken to prayer. For some of you, you're tremendous prayer warriors. You've been intercessors for so long, but God's saying, you know what? Even right now, I want to take you to another level. Father, thank you. Thank you for every hand that's raised in this room. Father, we thank you for an awakening to prayer. We thank you for an awakening to your ways, an awakening to your will. Father, we pray against selfish prayers. Father, we know your ways are higher. Your ways are deeper. And so, Father, we want to commit afresh this house, this campus, this church, this year to have an awakening of prayer to new levels of intimacy, Father, with you, to new levels of revelation with you, to new levels of communication with you, Father. We don't want to do this life alone. We don't want to do it in our own strength. It might be good, it might be okay, but Father, we're done with that way of living. We want to rely on your voice. We want to rely on your word. Father, we want to come to you because you are a good, good Father. You hear our cries. And so, Father, we come to you. We come to you, Father. we come to you with a position, a posture, with an alert mind and a thankful heart. A mind that's ready for the battles around us, the spiritual battles around us, but a heart of thankfulness for everything that you've blessed us with, for everything that you've given us. Father, I pray for an awakening from today. I pray that this wouldn't just be a message that we hear and discount, but I pray as we leave this venue that there's conversations about it. I pray that as we leave this venue, Father, that we put into practice disciplines as we go from here in our individual lives, in our family lives. Father, for every hand that's lifted, I thank you that you're smiling upon them right now. Just every hand lifted, I just feel the presence of God so strongly in this room right now. It'd be remiss of me to move on from this moment. Holy Spirit, just solidify this message, this word, this holy moment in the lives of every single person with their hands lifted. We don't want the counter anymore, God. We don't want the fake anymore. God, we want the real thing. We want intimacy. We want authenticity with a God who loves us so much. As your hands are lifted, band, would you lead us in worship and sing over us right now?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.